I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's like a big dome thing.
Well, you're nut. Welcome to this week's episode of 20 Minute Tim's. There's only one match to discuss, Celtic 2, Rangers 1, and I'm joined by Melly.
Yes.
Same seat every time, don't know why I got confused. And Stephen.
Happy New Year, everyone. Oh, it's New Year's Day.
What did you, what, it is New Year's Day, yeah. Happy New Year. Oh, Melly. Happy New Year. That was a weird one,
just
Melly.
Just do this, we'll pretend for the benefit of the camera here.
There we go.
Did you rub my knuckle?
Hey, listen, what did you spend your Hogmanay doing?
Absolutely nothing. Like a normal person, if you leave the house in Hogmanay, I think you're at it.
You're absolutely at it. What I did was I just sat in, got a big box of chocolates, got a bottle of wine, and then just downloaded every Rangers podcast I could find and just sat listening to every word of it.
I've not had a chance yet. I've been running about a bit over the festive period, so I've not had a chance to sit down and take it all in. So there will be, if you are a Rangers content creator, let's face it, you're watching this right now. If you're a Rangers content creator and you're looking at the stats, you're looking at the numbers,
or
thinking,
you work for a Scottish newspaper, yeah, same thing.
Yeah. If you're looking at your stats and your numbers and thinking, we've got one less click than I would expect at this time after a game, I'll get there. Don't worry. I'm still here. Don't worry. I will get to you. I know you're missing me.
It's all part of the fun. Listen, what a win that was. First of all, Dal, Celtic, an apology. For doubting them, Melly, because I was nervous before it.
Oh, so was I, mate. I thought Celtic were struggling going into it. We had won the two games, but reminded us what Brendan is and what Celtic are. The top dogs, aren't they? The top dogs, and it's just that psychological thing that they had over us in the 90s. That yes, you might think you're getting there, you're almost there, but then Celtic will just go in and beat you. And look, I think Celtic played well, could have played better, but of course we've seen they could have played worse, like they've done this season, but came away with a victory, and it was massive. It's absolutely huge, that psychological thing, and the meltdown has been utterly tremendous.
Stephen, the Limmy meme that we've now been using, I forgot. No, it's my fault, right? I always start to Celtic because not only did I forget how bad Rangers are, but I forgot how good Celtic can be sometimes. I'm watching Callum McGregor going, I forgot, no, it's my fault. So I know you boss these games, I've seen it before.
Well, I think for good reason. Look, we said last week, or the previous episode, that this was a massive test for Celtic going in, and there were reasons for that. One, because Rangers were in good form going in, they had achieved some stuff this season, including European results and winning a cup. So for those reasons, coupled with Celtic's stuttering form, we went in thinking this is a massive test. And it was. It's very easy in hindsight to go back and say, well, Celtic have cantered it. They're rubbish. It wasn't a test, but it was going in and Celtic passed it. We've still got concerns going forward about the direction of this season, but we've got over that massive hurdle, passed that test, answered a good few questions, and now we're almost at January where we still believe some problems are going to be fixed, but it was about getting over that.
Hey, we're in January, you.
Oh yeah, we're in January. I meant that we've still got the St Mirren game to go as we record this, so that's to get out of the way before we go and start signing anybody. But at 12:05 last night, New Year's,
nobody in.
I was wondering, right, so the agents better be getting phoned right about now. Faxes better be getting sent.
The bells have just finished and the phones are ringing.
But you're right to say that sometimes you forget that Celtic are capable of stepping up. That phrase, we did an At The Match podcast and we used the words step up several times on it, because I think that was warranted with some of the performances, some of the individual performances, which we'll come on to. I think that Celtic managed to do that, and they are capable of doing that. We've not seen it enough this season. So I think that's what caused the slight nerves going into this, because we know how good Celtic can be. But for whatever reason, on a number of occasions, they haven't been. But no complaints. Well, not no complaints. I think that Celtic could have been better about that game. But all it did in the cold light of day, when you watch the game back, all it did was add to the excitement of it, because you know the result. I have watched it back now, and you know the result's coming. And it did just add to the sort of excitement of it all, that last maybe 15, 20 minutes or so.
I think what Stephen's saying is right, but also like I kind of disagree as well, because it is... The players stepped up, but it's the guys who have been stepping up this season, isn't it?
True.
Like, Callum McGregor's already done it against Rangers. Matt O'Reilly was brilliant against Rangers last time. Kyogo got the winning goal, and it's really only...
Scales?
Scales got by the match last time, and Bernardo's come in this time and done it. But it was that midfield that won the game for Celtic, and that was what it took. I think I said about it last week, is the Rangers were a bit under strength in there, a couple of injuries, so that was the place where I felt Celtic could get it. And The performance of the three in midfield was incredible. I think Greg Taylor moving in there caused Rangers problems as well. So seeing those three guys in there, and there's been some chat about Callum McGregor this season, is he as good as last season? That though doesn't really matter now, does it? If he can go into these games and boss them like he does, he's going to do it every time, and he's got that over them as well, no matter who it is. How many's he been through now? Look, Rodgers rhymed off 5 or 6 managers he's been through. How many midfielders has Callum McGregor been through again? Lundstrom back from injury. Cantwell meant him start.
Raskin. I'm laughing as well. You're talking about Callum McGregor. Just remember, I'm absolutely taking the piss out of Todd Cantwell.
Laughing in his face. And look, that's what he does in these games. He's different from Scott Brown, but in some ways he's a lot better, because he's got the... I think he's a better footballer than Scott Brown, but he's a different sort of captain. And we've seen him call Rangers players certain things in other games, but this time he's just laughing in Cantwell's face. Like, this guy's nowhere near his level, and Callum McGregor showed what his level is, showed what Rangers' level is, and who comes out on top.
It's often said about Callum McGregor, and rightly so, because the obvious comparison, and I don't want to keep using it because it's unfair to do it to Callum McGregor, but when compared to Scott Brown, he is a quieter personality, but he's also a massive personality when it comes to these games. He's the guy who explodes into life, and he's the guy who is, as you say, shouting. He's in the Rangers players' faces. He's taking the piss out of them. So he's not just this quiet, unassuming guy underneath this sort of quiet exterior. And I heard Scott Brown, he was on some podcast, some outlet, talking about his favourite teammates. Yeah. He was talking about how Callum McGregor is the ultimate professional. He goes to his bed at 9:30, doesn't he look at his phone past a certain time, gets like 10 hours of sleep a night, doesn't drink. He is Mr. Professional, and everything in his life is geared towards being the best footballer he possibly can. But underneath all that sort of quiet exterior is beats the heart of an absolute winner, an absolute tiger in there.
You can tell, because we said before the game that the thing that gave me confidence was the fact that these players, one, have done it before. There's a number of players in there that have done it before against Rangers, and two, we've seen them do it this season in the more difficult ties. Yeah. And the bigger games is when they step up. Callum McGregor has been... He's not been as influential in recent weeks as we know he can be. But in that game, bossed it, doesn't he even begin to cover it? Yeah. He was absolutely everywhere. He was taking the ball off people. He was keeping the ball off people. He was sitting back. He was pressing forward when he had to press forward. He was in the final third. He was defending. He completely controlled every inch of that park.
Yeah, and Todd Cantwell walks out his door, he'll have a wee peek around the corner to see if Callum McGregor's there. He just seemed, every time Cantwell had a touch, he was on him, right in there, takes the ball off him. And every second ball, it seemed maybe he was there as well with Matt O'Reilly and Bernardo. The midfield just dominated, and there was still faults in Celtic's game, but you can't fault those three guys in there. I thought they were brilliant. The beating heart of Celtic in there, and probably the reason we got the victory, to be honest. And Callum McGregor is the main reason for that. Man of the match, and rightly so, a captain's performance.
It was great. After the game, he was in the... I think he was in the hospital, and he came up and he did a wee speech, and he goes, Rangers have been on a good run, but they've not played anyone yet. And I thought, he knows. He knows he knows how to stick it in. Bernardo, sort of, I was quite disparaging of Bernardo. Do you know what? I think I might just stop doing that, because I think you can just take it as read that we've been pretty critical of some players this season, and rightly so. But Bernardo was one where I was like... But I see no world in which we are paying £5 million for Bernardo, because a couple of weeks ago he wasn't even getting a sniff, and he wasn't starting games. He's been here since the summer. But these last few games, particularly that Glasgow derby, if I would now say that I'm a total convert in Bernardo. And yeah, I would pay the money.
Somebody sent me a thing that's maybe only £2 million or just less than that, and not the best source, but a decent source. Football Manager has him about £2 million as well, and that's usually quite accurate with wages and stuff like that. So if it's like that, then get him signed. But even if he keeps up like this, if it is £5 million, it's looking like he should probably do it again. But it is against Rangers. He has looked good in that game and the games in Europe. I need to see more from him in the sort of smaller games. But after the Dundee game and the Livingston game, if he can add what he's doing to his game, he was just everywhere. So much so that I was like, I need you to calm down, mate. I need you to calm down because you're going to be off the pitch one way or the other, whether it be sent off or taken off. But he was absolutely brilliant, capped off with his goal. If he's adding goals to his game as well, he was brilliant. But even from the first whistle, there was a bit just at the very start, right over where we were sitting, where the ball came to the touchline, the Rangers player took the touch and he just went through him and took the ball, took it out for a shy for Rangers. And you're like, right, he's up for it. He's up for it. And then over our side as well, McCausland and Scales comes in and goes through and like, right, they're up for it here. Celtic are ready for this. And that's what we were speaking about last week, was a lot of players, like we were talking about Yang, Mikey Johnson, David Turnbull. I said I didn't want to see them on the pitch because in these games you need to win your individual battles. And most of the players for Celtic done that. And that is why we got the victory. Those players won their battle. Celtic midfield won the battle and Celtic had moments of quality. Most of the time in these games, there's one or two of these games where you just get an absolute trouncing and the team can't do anything about it. But in a tight game like this, you need to do those things and Celtic done them, and that's how they came out with the victory.
There were a couple of moments where I thought we'd missed the opportunity to take Bernardo off, because I remember round about us in particular, there was a huge swell and calls to going to get him off because he kept going into challenges. And I think Brendan Rodgers said that after the game. He had a couple of challenges where he was stretching for the ball and it could so easily lead to a second booking. And I remember thinking, we're going to miss the chance here because the ball wouldn't go out of play. And I thought, he's going to get sent off before we've had a chance. Nobody's warming up. Where's Hatate? What we're doing here? I thought he was going to get sent off. But a great performance. And I'm conscious of swinging, veering wildly from one opinion to the next. But that's what these games are all about, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. Well, in fact, it'd be foolish of us to deny the fact that performances in these games in particular make you stand out as a potential signing. And
you can't really blame us for having a guy who joined the club on loan, never got a game at all, and then going, probably doesn't look like he's worth signing him. Then he plays in two games, he plays in a handful of games, looks pretty assured, and then comes to absolute life in a Rangers game. You think, okay, sign him.
It's like David Turnbull in the COVID season. Is what a December signing he was. Where's he been this whole time? That Bernardo turns up in December and all of a sudden announces himself as a Celtic player.
It's our job to veer wildly from one opinion to the other. It's the club's job to make the calculated decisions.
It does pose questions. Where on earth has he been all this time? He looked like a guy where we were just wheeling him out for Champions League games and in specific circumstances. The Chris Killen of midfield, if you like. But so I don't know where he's been this whole time, but his last couple of performances have been absolutely great. And you think, right, we got a goal against Dundee, but maybe we shouldn't focus on that too much. There are still questions around him, but his all-round performance against Rangers was absolutely superb, I thought. And the goal itself, I remember a goal that was scored this season, one of Matt O'Reilly's glut of goals that he got all in a row. I can't remember who played the pass, but there was one that dropped over his left shoulder and he hit it across into the far bottom corner.
That
was it. And I remember thinking, we spoke about it, and the reason I think we all go, oh, and we're so impressed with a goal like that is because in your mind, you can easily picture yourself trying that.
Or Dyson.
Yeah, Ivo Dyson. Or you can see that ball coming over your own shoulder and you just sky it straight into the roof of the stand. The Bernardo one was quite similar for me because I think if I had that opportunity, I would shoot, but I would probably just like slice it over the bar. So it cut down across the ball, kind of through and across the ball and just send it into the net like an arrow. Absolutely brilliant technique. The celebration was brilliant. He got obviously booked for it. Could he get injured? I didn't notice at the time because we sit in the halfway line, so it's kind of down to our left, that section. But it looked to me like it gets stuck under the...
His knees.
Yeah, he did,
it gets stuck under the collapsed advertising board. So could have been a dodgy one. So thankfully, he managed to get through that.
Referee doing his job for a change. Yeah. The meltdown about these refs has been absolutely unbelievable. Listen, lots of Rangers fans watch this. They've been watching. Well, there's been a lot of Rangers fans tuning in when Celtic have not been doing so well. I wonder if the same guys will be tuning in this week now that they've absolutely battered Rangers. But do you think we could get our hands up? New Year, New Year's resolution, and we can put, you know, old disagreements behind us. Do you think finally we're at a place now where Celtic fans and Rangers fans can reach across the divide and accept that maybe referees are influenced and biased in some way by the occasion, by allegiances, by pressure from fans and pressure from clubs? Because all you've been hearing all season is rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. Referees are completely innocent. Nothing happens to referees. They make their judgments down the line and you're all paranoid and it's crazy to suggest anything else. And if we'd heard the Germans that were complaining about Bayern Munich bias, we'd all be laughing at them. Bang. Yeah. 4 days later, Willie Collins on VAR, he works at this school, he needs to be sacked. We can never do it again. They're afraid to make these decisions. So it's something we've been saying for a long time on the podcast. See, when we're criticising referees and you're lying down in front of that train to defend them and say that we're absolutely mental for suggesting that referees are anything other than completely infallible, it's going to come and bite you in the backside. And lo and behold, the Rangers fans think Bernardo should have been off. Wild to me.
I don't think that.
I think that second challenge was more of a booking on Goldson than it was in Bernardo.
Yeah, yeah. It's the exact same thing that Dyson got sent off for against Atletico Madrid. Yeah. He just went in the sort of clashed legs after the ball.
So that's a complete non-entity. The handball incident with Alistair Johnson.
Yeah.
Difficult one, isn't it? Because I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to grab Dessers.
Seema.
Yeah. He's trying to grab Seema. Yes, of course, and he punches the ball at that time. And I think there was a bit of confusion in the broadcasting area about why it wasn't. But at the end of the day, Stephen, it was offside and it wouldn't have been a penalty.
Yeah, that's right. And under stuff about the refs, it's like, well, unconscious bias has been a thing that's...
Doesn't exist.
Well,
come on.
It does exist, right? It is an undeniable... It is an immutable part of the human psyche. It exists. It's an observable part of human
Shaking
life.
My head.
But apart from Scottish referees, that doesn't affect them at all and never has done. But the incident, I think it's clear that Alistair Johnson, when you watch the replays, what he did was, it's very common for when the ball's in the air, you stick a hand out to find your opponent just to make sure you're spatially aware of of what's going on. I think he did that. He went to grab... Seema, maybe not so much grab, but he felt out for what was around him. And in doing so, the ball hits his hand and goes out. To me, I think that's a fairly clear incident where it's a penalty. Right? Yeah. I'm not going to spend much time denying that. I don't buy that natural position stuff because what he was trying to do was affect his opponent in some way and it hit his hand and went out. I think if you influence the play where the only reason the ball went out of play is because it hit your hand, I think that's a fair case for a penalty. But, right, now, I appreciate that people are upset about the process involved, but every single angle of it arrives at not a penalty anyway.
Yeah.
All of it, right?
Rangers want the transcript. Yeah. How did you... We're demanding to know how you reached this correct conclusion.
Yeah. So it's like a flowchart where it all leads towards no penalty anyway. So if it's handball, is it deliberate handball? Yes. Give penalty. Then it goes to attacking phase of play, right?
Yeah.
So then that's checked. Then it's no penalty because it's offside. Is it handball? No. Or is it deliberate handball? No. No penalty. They all arrive at no penalty anyway. So I get that people are upset at having not explained to them in a timely fashion, but it's not really...
Straw clutch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not worth getting upset about. And it's a pattern now. I think it's obvious that managers of Rangers go out and try to deflect from their own performances, from their own shortcomings by whipping up the angry hordes. They go out and try and make all the fans raging about injustice and indecision and, you know, being let down by referees yet again because Michael Beale did it. You remember the Jota handball that he just completely made up and they stuck with it for days? And the Dessers were involved.
Lagerbielke.
The roof goal, the Lagerbielke incident at Ibrox. Now, again, that was very, very contentious.
Came a roof, goal.
Yeah, that's the one I'm on to. So once that is explained, okay. Yep. Right, let's play out a little scenario here. I'll be Philippe Clement, you be the referee, right?
You do look a bit like
him. Thank you, yeah. I'm glad he outed himself as a bit of a potential crackpot as well. We'll come to that.
He's a wackadoodle.
Right, Mr. Referee, why did we not get a penalty there?
Because it was offside.
okay, have a good year when it comes. Thanks very much.
Thank
and
you.
Scene. That's it. That's the whole discussion, isn't it? Right, that's it. That's all it boils down to. So the fact that we're going to be droning on about this for ages and ages, and it was offered at least two explanations by journalists, by press at the press conference. He lost his temper with the BBC when he was asked whether about the best team won.
Yes.
So cracks appear in there. But he was offered a number of explanations and he was still on about how that was a costly mistake. It was an expensive mistake. Use that word. It was expensive today. Mistakes happen. I make mistakes as well. But that was an expensive one today. It's not. It didn't cost you anything. It didn't affect anything because it was not a penalty.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that it took ages for them to explain it to you. It's not their position to have to explain the decision to you. The pundits as well. Pundits are on about, oh, we didn't have the information. So what?
But this is a problem that has been with us since day one.
Yeah.
It's a problem we've spoken about in this podcast. Half the time, you don't know why things are happening, especially if you're in the stadium. Sometimes you get VAR check handball, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it just goes on, there's no announcement, there's no indication. VAR is like a law unto itself. But these are complaints that we've had since day one and they've been rubbished. And I think this is all deflection. Because Rangers kind of just lose a stand-up game against Celtic.
No.
And it's all deflection because Balogun spat at the Celtic fans and no one's talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
David Turnbull's disallowed. David, you know what's a bigger contentious issue for me than the clear not penalty Alistair Johnson? David Turnbull's filled in the box. It's a clear penalty.
Yeah.
Nick Walsh doesn't give it. After Nick Walsh doesn't give it and they realise they made a boo-boo, the linesman puts his hand up for an offside decision. He's no offside. That, in fact, to be honest, that's one that probably should have got a VAR check, but it's not. So the David Turnbull for me is far more contentious, a million times more contentious, the David Turnbull penalty, than the Alistair Johnson clearly not a handball. And Leon Balogun spitting at Celtic fans is something that should be making the papers now, but everyone's like, Rangers have got really out in the front foot with this aggrieved thing, and people in the press have just went along with it. They don't have the stones to go to Rangers, well, hold on a minute here, because there was a Turnbull and there was a Balogun that we're going to discuss first.
Yeah, it's just a bravado again from them as usual. And I thought the meltdown from the roof one was good. This is even better because you're looking at it going, right, okay, all these decisions. So the first one was the handball they didn't get. Right, okay, it probably is a penalty, right? But see, even... Am I being coloured by the fact that I think it's a penalty because of all the penalties they get?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's a stonewall penalty. It hits his hand, yes. I don't think he means it. I don't think it's intentional. I think the ball's still probably going the same place it went, but it hits his hand. But they usually get them. They always get them. And even the...
That's why they're so angry.
Yeah, and even the Turnbull one, I'm not sure that's a penalty. I think it's so weak from Turnbull, yet... If it was them, they get it.
Yeah.
And because they didn't get this one, they are going mental.
But my point is you can debate whether or not it's a Turnbull penalty and you can agree or disagree. My point is it's not even been discussed. The whole incident has basically been brushed over and everyone's talking about this Alistair Johnson thing.
Yeah, but the fact that the Alistair Johnson thing, they don't get the penalty from it and then it comes out that it's offside anyway, it then had to be, all right, well, Johnston should have got a second booking for the thing on Seema. Both of them are jumping. Both his hands go out and Seema is there. I don't think that's a booking. The Bernardo one isn't a booking. The stills of Luis Palma's corner, that is this ball gone out before it came in?
Just an angle, by the way.
Yeah. Completely lost the plot and lost all. And you're sitting here thinking, yous are paranoid conspiracy theorists. Oh no, wait, that's meant to be us. But what I do have a problem with, like you have said, is this is what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot come on and after every big game start going mental about referees when every week we are saying this VAR isn't working properly, these referees aren't fit for purpose, we need more transparency. And then as soon as one, two incidents go wrong for you, it's complete meltdown and this has to be changed, getting courts involved, wanting radio scanners in to hear the audio. And look, what I can say as well is it was offside, right? That's fine. But the problem is that wasn't the decision at the time. Mm. The decision was that Willie Collum didn't think Nick Walsh had made a mistake and it should be reviewed. But he's a terrible referee, like we've been saying since he was a referee, like about 10, 12 years ago when he gave a penalty he didn't even see. But that doesn't matter.
Well, they call him, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. He's always been a terrible
ref. Well, that's
ref.
It cancelled out then. But one, now, one for one.
But now,
it evens itself out over a couple of decades, doesn't it? Yeah.
But now that the brogue's on the other foot, as we say, then it's a complete and utter meltdown. We've said all along, these refs are terrible. The process for this, when VAR first came in and Celtic were getting handballs against us willy-nilly, we asked for this stuff. And no,
yeah.
You're paranoid, you're mental, it's all against you, it's all the same refs and all that, Catholic schools and that. But now that this has happened, we need transparency, we need to hear the audio and that. Do you know what? Brilliant. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Because see, if we do get to hear the audio, you will find out very quickly that your club gets more.
Never in a
is that 75 games since they last had a penalty against them now?
Never in a million years of the SFA releasing that audio, right? No. Never in a million years, because if they do that, to quote Neil Lennon, that's opening a bag of worms. Right, so let's say we've discussed the refs, let's not fall into that. You know, we brought him up and let's do the right thing. We might as well discuss a couple of good performances. But Arthur Johnson, the man in question, was he too hot, was he, Stephen?
He was dreadful, to be honest. He's allowed one of those because he's usually a big game player and he usually turns up against Rangers. He loves that fixture. But I thought from very early on, it looked as if he wasn't moving very well. There was one quite good run he went on down the right, cut inside, knocked it past someone and ran on the outside. But he didn't look as if he was moving all that freely. I could only speculate on that. That's only my view of it. I don't know if he's maybe carrying a knock and we just thought, right, we'll just cobble together what team we've got available on the day and we'll worry about it later. There's a break coming up. But I wondered if we might have seen Ralston at some point yesterday on the game, because I thought he had a bit of a shocker and it was his pass that basically killed Stephen Welsh.
Yeah.
He turned inside, passed it, a hospital ball in the middle. Stephen Welsh was forced into a big lunge, and that was the chance that Dessers completely made an arse of, right? So that could have been very different. If that was a competent player, then we would have been altogether different scenario. Seymour was rubbish, but he has got, I think, about 13 or 14 goals this season, which is quite impressive. He has been a good finisher. If it had been him running through, he probably buries that. It doesn't take 10 touches and shite himself like this. There was a meme going down the rounds now that the meme of the two buttons and the guy sweating, deciding which one to press. It's like, one was score and the other one was take 10 touches and shite yourself. So if it could have been very different, but the reason I bring it up is because it was Alistair Johnston's fault and he had a good few. Even getting forward, Celtic were on a couple of decent breaks and he just got forward and leathered it over the bar. Dyson did the same. So he didn't have a good game at all. But you're allowed one of those on occasion. But if Celtic hadn't managed to get the result yesterday, we would have been looking at it in an altogether different light. So no, it wasn't good. But again, you can have a couple of shanners.
It was terrible. Absolutely shocking, everything about him. Even just the simple passing was putting Celtic under pressure. And it was worrying during the game because him and with Maeda ahead of them, it was really poor from Celtic. And that's why...
The right side's been a problem for a wee while, hasn't it?
And it's not going to get any easier with Maeda now away. So we're thinking, right, that's Maeda's third game in. Hopefully that's him up to speed now. Boy, oh boy, he's not up to speed. So I think him and Johnson, it was a big problem there. But Rangers didn't take advantage of it.
No.
And again, we'll come on to them. But Johnston was poor, put Celtic under pressure. And I think Celtic were good right up until the point where Stephen Welsh went off. And then it started, it sort of didn't knock us a wee bit, but it just sort of took that flow out of the game where Celtic were getting on the ball, passing it. I thought Welsh was really good before he went off, looked solid enough. And then when he went off, it just...
Rocky was shaky, wasn't he? He came into the game, first, but he was shaky at first.
The first, up until half time, he did look a bit shaky, but that's understandable. Yeah. Like, him and Welsh haven't played a lot of football, just thrown into these games, and you kind of forget, like, these guys haven't played football in months and months, but Navrotsky came into it, but Celtic sort of just lost a wee bit towards half-time, and then I thought, right, just calm down at half-time, Brendan, get your message across, and then come out in the second half, see through the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and we should be all right. Didn't really need to do that, just score a wonder goal in that time.
Yeah.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2024. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below the waist grooming have you covered for your much needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with their exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code TIMS, T-I-M-S, for 20% off and free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. It's a new year, new balls, with the global leaders in below the waist grooming. This year, take your package to the next level with their Performance Package 4.0 and other premium wet goods. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you will find a signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2024 looks to be. To complete the set, Manscaped threw in their shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. If you really want to make 2024 the year to remember, make sure to try out Manscaped's wet goods as well. This includes our ultra-premium body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo and body deodorant. These products are the absolute perfect follow-up after your New Year's gym sessions. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TIMS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the word TIMS, T-I-M-S. Time to feel sexy this 2024 with Manscaped. Well, there's a contrast here between Navrotsky's introduction and the subs that were made later on, because I don't think the later subs helped much, if not made Celtic a wee bit worse, to be honest. Because I think that, like, being thrown into a game like that, to an extent, all of the subs are being thrown into a game like that, but there's a big, big difference between tactical substitutions and enforced emergency substitutions, of which Navrotsky was one. He gets put in with very little instruction other than just replace that guy, go out and defend. The tactical subs have been sent on with clear instructions on how to close out this game, control the game and get the game won. I don't think they did that, and we'll probably discuss that, because I think there are players who sometimes come into this team who look as if they haven't been given any instructions at all, which I don't believe for a second, so they are possibly completely ignoring their instructions, that which contributed to the shaky last maybe 20 minutes of the game. But Navrotsky, I think he has allowed a couple of dodgy passes because he has been literally thrown in there into a very intense environment for the first time in months. But I thought he really, really came into it. I was really impressed with him, actually. And it reminded me of what I was impressed with him at first. His ability to pass under pressure, nice crisp through balls. It was the pass for Kyogo's goal, I think took out about four players with that just like arrowed pass right into the middle of the park. O'Reilly turns and he does the rest to find Kyogo. But the passing's much, much better.
It's a weird one because these injury updates for Celtic just keep you guessing. There's another player who we've not seen played. And then Brendan Rodgers after the game said, you know, he's just been unlucky with this injury. He's going to be a very big important player.
I've got real faith in him.
Aye. And you're just like, but Brendan, a couple of weeks ago you said it's about...
He's not got the personality.
He's a personality. And then now we're hearing it's about injury. And these injury updates are... mystifying sometimes because you're left to draw your own conclusions. And maybe Celtic want to keep some things under their hat a wee bit. I don't know why, but because before the game, I thought, right, Navrotsky can't even get a start ahead of Welsh. Stephen Welsh, who barely played any minutes under the last manager in the last couple of seasons. We bought this guy for big money. And then after game, Brian's like, no, he's going to be a big player for me in the second part of the season.
If Carter Vickers makes it, he's not even in the squad. Despite the fact that Brendan Rodgers got a huge amount of faith in him and he's capable of putting in performances, he wouldn't have been near that squad if Carter Vickers had been fit. Now, I know that suggests that I'm saying he's behind Carter Vickers, that's clear, but he's also behind Stephen Welsh, he's also behind Scales, so he's not anywhere near the team.
Yeah, I thought he was good when he came on into that second half. I thought he was solid. There was one or two occasions where he looked like, oh, he's dived in there, but he managed to sort it out for himself. And like Stephen, I thought his passing was crisp. In the first 10, 15 minutes, I thought, oh no, because Liam Scales is holding on to the ball for so long. I was reading some scouting done on Celtic, and apparently Celtic centre-halves hold on to the ball more than any other centre-halves in the league.
Really?
So it's a bit of a problem for Celtic, maybe not so much in these games, but Liam Scales had that one early on where he passed it straight in and Rangers were on the break, and I thought this could be dodgy. But when Navrotsky came on, ball out his feet and playing these crisp passes in, but it wasn't the simple ones like we see a lot of the time from Scales or maybe even Welsh. He was playing it through the lines, as they say, and trying to beat a couple of players. And as soon as we do that, as soon as Celtic could beat Rangers press and get the ball to O'Reilly or McGregor,
it changes the entire dynamic, doesn't it?
And that's been the problem for Celtic this season, is the centre-halves have been too happy just to play it out to their full-back back inside and then go and give it to Cal McGregor. If we can get it from the centre-halves into the sort of two number eights, we can then spring on teams, and that's what we're doing to Rangers, and that's how the second goal comes. But when that second goal comes, I just didn't expect it at all, and it just perfect timing from Kyogo. Every time some idiot will come out and say something, he's not on form or that, or can Kyogo finish like Lawrence Shankland? That's a better goal than Lawrence Shankland's ever scored. It was utterly tremendous. Fought for a split second, wrong decision because Dyson was in there. I remembered, oh, it's Dyson, he'll miss anyway.
did Kyogo.
That goal will be up there. The two goals, actually, two pieces of sheer quality that will be up there. Added to the list of goals against Rangers that you'll see over and over again. Utterly incredible that this guy can do it.
He's unbelievable. Kyogo's unbelievable. And again, it's a player we singled out before the match. Like, all the thing that gave us faith was these guys, McGregor, O'Reilly, guys that have done it against Rangers before. Up crops Kyogo. I think that's seven goals in a calendar year against Rangers, the only player to ever do it. He's got that in the locker, and the wee shimmy just to give himself a bit of space. And it was beautiful because, as you, Chris Boyd made an absolute fool of himself once again. Kyogo can't finish like that. Lauren Shankland asked for a goal like that on his Christmas list. He's never scored a goal like that in his puff, Lauren Shankland. And it just, from, I don't know, from about 20 odd yards out, shifts up on his weaker foot right by Super Jack Butland.
It's not even as if that goal was the key defining point in shutting Chris Boyd up and proving that he can do it. He's done it loads of times.
Yeah.
There was one against Dundee United.
It's just because the proximity of Chris Boyd's dumb comment. Yogo's saying, hod that.
So it's. I don't think it's appropriate to look at that as that, oh, see, you can do it. He's been doing it all along throughout his Celtic career. Now, he's more famous for, or he's more sort of infamous for his tap-ins and his movement and getting in behind the defence and popping up at the near post and flicking it in, but he's been doing that throughout. Again, the one at Tannadice last season, I think in the 9-0 game, he's bent it. First time, ball drops down, bends it into the top corner. He's done it loads of times. Left foot, right foot. Having watched the game back, obviously I was at the game, so I'm not party to any of the commentary that goes on. I watched it back and Jerry McCulloch referenced Nakamura several times after he did that. He said that it was like watching Nakamura, and I thought, he's actually right, because it was the left foot, it was the swinging away from the keeper into the top corner. And I remember Nakamura did that almost identical goal against Dundee United in his time.
Chip.
It was more of a chip, but it was the flight of the ball was almost identical. It kind of went across from that left side of the box, across the keeper into the far top corner. Nakamura did something almost identical to that back in the day. But
I was amazed the space Kyogo found. Dropped a wee bit deeper. And the Rangers defence just didn't really know who to follow.
They couldn't handle it. There's a good few times where you've seen him pick up the ball deeper. And again, this is being Celtic's problem. It's not these games we struggle in, because Kyogo can do that because the team's not sitting on the edge of the 18-yard box. But he dropped off and you could just see Goldson and Balogun. Nobody knew who to mark him, and he had that space to have that wee turn and set players in it. I thought he was great. He knew when to press, and I think the main thing from this game is Celtic went in with a plan. They went in with a plan, and you could tell from the way they set up, they could tell from even the way the game kicked off. As soon as it changed to Rangers taking kickoff, Celtic dropped a bit because they knew, oh, Rangers aren't going to be any different to our team. They are going to shell this ball on top of Greg Taylor or our defence and try and go from there. So Celtic had, it seemed like they had a plan for every eventuality that happened out there on the pitch. And Cantwell, Mark and McGregor, brilliant. That means Scales and Welsh will have more time on the ball. And Cantwell gave up on that. He gave up on that because he's not willing to put the work in. A few Celtic players that came on, the same. But Celtic had a plan, and this is where Brendan Rodgers earns his money in these games. One defeat in 15 or something.
You were talking about the Cantwell, Mark and McGregor thing. This is just, and Celtic have just got a better manager, and that to me is the indicator, because only Brendan, if Cantwell was in Celtic's team, Brendan Rodgers wouldn't give him a job like that, because Brendan Rodgers knows how good Callum McGregor is, but so should the Rangers manager. The Rangers manager should look at these players and go, that's a mismatch. You know, I'm putting Cantwell onto Mark McGregor, and we saw how it played out. As you say, he chucked it, but the amount of times you rewatch the game, McGregor just steps away from him, three or four steps away, takes the ball, presses it in midfield. Cantwell's 8 yards behind him, no doing his job. You think, why would you as the Rangers manager look at these two players and go, right, I know what I'm going to do about Callum McGregor, one of the best players on the pitch, I'll put this idiot on him.
I'm not going to defend the Rangers manager here, but there was points watching the game back where, can't remember if it's Dessers, but when Callum McGregor moves away, one of the Rangers players throws his hands up towards Cantwell because he's simply not doing what he's been asked. He's instead of staying on McGregor, I can't remember if he was trying to press or stay on McGregor, but he moved away, which meant McGregor was free, which is the whole point of the team over on that side trying to stop that. Yet he's just left him. And again, we'll see it when we talk about Mikey Johnson. If you're going out there with instructions and you don't follow those instructions, it has consequences. And it meant Callum McGregor just strolled through the game.
You're wrong, mate. It's the referee's fault.
I think that's unfair on Callum McGregor because he creates the space and he's absolutely brilliant. But part of the reason was that is Rangers can never get a grip of him. And a big part of that is how good he is. But a small part of that as well is they're not doing their jobs right. And I love it.
See, on the management, just before we move away from that entirely.
Second thing, I don't want to do an edit, Stephen, so I'll just open this.
Right, okay.
I'll hide the logo because no one will notice this.
No product placement. Yeah. No product placement.
Dry January, so I'm having a sugar-free soda pop. Carry on.
A name-free, off-brand soda pop.
No one can see what this is.
So on the game management itself, I was utterly mystified by some of Rangers' decisions in it. Now, I wasn't all that aware of it at the time. It was only watching it back I became aware of how ridiculous it was. But the substitutions they made were bizarre. Now, I don't mean the nature of the substitutions. I don't mean the types of players. But we know that there's five substitutions now in three windows, three substitution opportunities. But there was a moment where Seema is down injured. I think it was at the moment he clashed with Johnson. Right, maybe get one in the face. So Seema is down, been treated for ages. And during that, they take Cantwell off. Huge applause. Absolutely brilliant. One of the biggest cheers. Yep. One of the biggest pops of the day.
Just a boy with a TikTok.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So correct. He has to walk over and walk over in front of the cheering fans. Superb moment. Because there's nothing that quite unites the Celtic fans like cheering an opposition player off the pitch, is there? Welcome to the Halliday Club. Halliday Morelos. So they take Cantwell off and put on Dowell, who I actually thought was Lammers. Forgot Dowell existed. So they take Cantwell off. And while Seema is doing the long walk around the pitch, so away along the touchline, behind the goal, over to the halfway line, over to the dugout, during that, they make the decision to take Seema off. I can't remember who came on for him. Scott Wright, I think it was. During that, so there is 1 minute in between Cantwell being taken off and Seema being taken off. So that's two windows of opportunity used within 1 minute.
Clement was no happy.
No, so
he got booked, didn't he? Clement got booked.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say cracks appearing. So they used two, and then that's before they go down to 10 men. There's no predicting that. It was a straight red. It wasn't as if Balogun was walking the tightrope around. That was a straight red, so you can't predict that. But when they take Balogun off, they put Suter on, so that's all the subs gone.
Yep.
But at this point, Rangers, despite the fact they went down to 10 men, Celtic kind of lost control of it a wee bit. And I think even Brendan Rodgers said that after the game. He said he wasn't happy about not so much losing control, but failing to take control of the game when they had the man advantage. After that point, There's ways to upset Celtic. You could have stuck Matondo on, who isn't very good, but he's fast. He can possibly upset Celtic's defence a little bit, get in behind. But they chose not to. They just stuck Suter on. That's all the subs gone. So
Maybe they just didn't expect, I suppose, to get anything when they went down to 10 men. Maybe they just maybe that was it. But
it seemed like a bit of damage limitation, didn't it? Because Lundstrom was a doubt for the game, and he dropped to centre half, and then they took him off for Suter. Look, it didn't really look like Rangers were getting back into the game, but even from the start of the game, Rangers have undoubtedly improved under Clement. They've won games that they weren't winning at the start of the season. They've got through in Europe. They got a good result away from home. They've got a good few injuries right now. But again, looking at them, it's no different from what I've seen from Rangers.
I was quite surprised at that. Like Brendan Rodgers said after the game, played five Rangers managers, and that's honestly... I didn't like to see that for a Celtic manager disrespect the name of Graham Murty.
Put some respect on Graham Murty's name.
It's actually six Rangers managers you've battered, Brendan. Please, he's obviously lost so many, he's lost count, right?
Yeah.
But it was the same thing. It was long ball stuff. It was shelling it on the top of Celtic's long ball, long ball, long ball. And I'm like, what is this passed down through the generations? When they joined Rangers, as every manager given a big book, here's your introduction, play any way you like, but when it comes to playing Celtic at Parkhead, we're shelling that ball up. Yep.
I think that's
a
just,
good British long ball.
Yeah, it's just a wee book of Rangers, and it's staunch, dignity, dig. That's all they look for in these games and players.
I like to picture it's on a scroll. So while they're doing the Loving Cup, they bring out the Rangers playbook.
Yeah. Tomorrow, we're doing it on this at the end of this.
But it's the same playbook every single time, and that's what I was talking about earlier with the deflection, the making up of grievances to focus on after the game. We saw it so many times under Michael Beale, and it is to deflect from that. This game can't possibly be about the fact that I've just sent them out there to give the ball to Goldson or Tavernier to launch it on top of the left back. Google who's the shortest Celtic player. It's Greg Taylor. Well, there you go. There's your tactics. Yeah. Boot it on top of his head. That's like five consecutive Rangers managers who have just turned up and done that. Now, of course, we part of the big challenge going into this game was that we were facing a man of real substance.
Yes.
A manager of real substance, a European level manager. Yeah, he's won leagues before.
Mm.
So that's fine. He deserves a little bit of respect for that. But what we saw was no different. Absolutely no different. It was fill the team with bigger boys from the year above when compared to Celtic, all big guys. And you know what? I actually stumbled across that. Maybe Sterling was the guy to sit on Callum McGregor rather than that empty jersey, Todd Cantwell. We'll never know. But it's just deflection. It can't possibly have been the tactics. It's the referees. We've been done out of it again.
And the fact of the matter is we've got a better manager.
Yeah.
And that's it. We've got a better manager, and he managed to get more out of his team. And it's what you said, Millie. We came on with a game plan. We came on with instructions. Our better players stepped up, and it was a run of the mill win for Celtic. It wasn't an easy game, and I think some of the subs had a bit to do with that. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But I think for the most part, all joking aside, I genuinely thought for most of that game, what am I worried about here? Sitting in the stand, I was like, this is more like it. This is what I'm used to watching. This is the Celtic I'm used to seeing. And unfortunately for you, Rangers, you're the Rangers I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, it was tense, and Rangers did have a couple of chances, but the Celtic team are always going to give up chances because right now they're not a great team. But that, to me, is a sign for a new manager to come in and go, I've got a chance to go in front of 60,000 fans here, my team are in good form, and win a game. We've had a week's break, we've had plenty more time to prepare than we usually would. We didn't get any injuries because the game against Ross County was cancelled, so they had the chance to go out there and really go for it, but they didn't. And it was from the first whistle. Even simple things like you're lost in the game and the tension and all that, but I noticed after a while, I was like, because Rangers took a short goal kick, and I was like, that's the first time they've done that in this game.
Yeah.
And it was way into the first half. So it was, again, their keeper punting it up. It was from kickoff, shelling it in, and I'm like, right, these tactics might be okay if your first tactic is falling down and you're not getting through Celtic's press or whatever. But to start off like that and think this is the way to beat Celtic, Celtic haven't been great, but you know from Liam Scales, like, he wins these headers for all his faults. It's not
that boy will put his head where other players don't put their feet.
Yeah, it's not that type of thing that I worry about. Welsh and Scales. It's players running off them, running around them. Rangers didn't try that, and I hear all this stuff about this guy Seema. From all accounts, he seems like he can score goals. are you not creating any chances for them? Why are you working off setting balls up to a guy who is an absolute haddie up there? He had an absolute nightmare.
Underuse that these days, isn't it? Haddie, that's what I will.
He's just a guy up there with physicality, but with that physicality, you need to get players around him, and Rangers didn't do that. All they were just working off scraps. And if I'm looking at that Celtic team, I'm thinking, look, see if you can put that crowd on the back foot, keep Celtic quiet and put them under pressure. The crowd can turn because it's happened. But the Rangers only never look like doing that.
But that's because a good Celtic player, what are they going to play through Celtic's midfield? We're bossing it there. They're going down the wings. They're getting absolutely no luck down that side. And I think what you said last week about Palmer, you know, Palmer didn't have the best game, but he did look to trouble Tavernier quite a lot. Tavernier can't defend. He seemed to get a lot of crosses in against him. So everything that Celtic did, everything that Celtic put in play, left Rangers with one option: shell it. And that's probably what's happened. There's no Rangers' first choice was to shell it. It's the fact that they came up against a Celtic team who were well drilled, who were following instructions, who had quality players, and went, the only option we have got here is to shell this ball and feed off scraps. But I want to return to talking about Celtic. I want to talk about the subs, because I thought, as Brendan thought, after we made the subs and when we went down to 10 men, we never controlled the game as well as we could. And I think some of these guys that came on deserve a bit of criticism. It's no all, you know, we can't let beating Rangers paper over the cracks. That was a tremendous day and a tremendous win. However, Mikey Johnson was abysmal once again when he came on. Ugh. And it's, hey, don't take my word for it. Take the words of Greg Taylor, who was furious. Chris Sutton was slaughtering him, but you can see with your own eyes Greg Taylor shouting, "What the fuck are you doing to Mikey Johnson after he let Tavernier run off him once again?"
Oh, and it was several times. Yeah. A handful of times he just let Tavernier. It's the one thing. See, even if we are sitting here on our previous episode identifying Tavernier as the main threat, and he was again, he turned up with another free kick, right? But apart from that, he is the guy that everything goes through. If they're not giving it to Goldson and letting him punt it up the park, everything tends to go through Tavernier. And Mikey Johnson comes on, and that's what I was talking about earlier, about how it's almost like players have been sent out there with no idea what they're doing, which cannot be the case.
No.
I firmly reject that. So it must be that they're just going out there and switching off. Again, there's a big difference. I said it earlier, a big difference between Navrotsky being thrown in there and expected to hit the ground running and defend.
Like he was doing his warm-up on the touchline.
And another thing altogether, to be actually prepared to be subbed on with a task in mind, whether you're replacing someone who has run out of steam or you're being tactically put in there to offer something that other players haven't. There's a big difference between just being thrown in. And Mikey Johnson went in there and just was completely switched off. Again, it was weeks ago I said that when Mikey Johnson's been in and out of the team, I said, it's no 1995 anymore. Mm. We don't put on wingers to just hug the touchline and go at defenders. They're a huge part of the defensive element of the team, a huge part of it. And he simply didn't provide it. And he went on a couple of decent runs and he played through the ball that led to the Turnbull non-penalty incident. So he is capable of doing that. But we can't have a player in the team who just switches off as readily as that. Abada wasn't much better. Abada came on and the first thing he did was he played in Dessers. Now, Dessers is a diddy, as we've already discussed. And same as away to the AFCON, he's been called up for Senegal, I think it is.
Yeah.
They must be raging that Dessers doesn't get near the Nigeria team anymore because they could have been doing with getting rid of him for a few weeks. But again, we're left thinking, right, if they had a competent striker, things might have been different. Mm. So he played Dessers in, and I think it was the one where he ran through and just smashed it off the side netting. So we had players that went in there, and it's not like they contributed nothing. They contributed to the losing of the grip of the game for Celtic. And it's not something to be focused on, but I think it's certainly worthy of discussion because we've been here before, went to Ibrox and won, and then the form dipped off again. Yeah. So it's
crucial.
Yeah, as much as of a celebration this is, we have to be mindful of the fact that while these players are capable of the intensity required, because we've seen it several times this season, it often drops off, and that has led to the throwing away of the lead that we previously had. Brilliant win to get, but we do still have problems in there that need addressed in January. And it was always going to be about January, and we do need to have a sharp focus on that now. But there are players in there that I don't want to see play again. It sounds like I'm being cruel, but it's just not working anymore.
For a couple of reasons. One, because they're not good enough.
Yeah.
And two, because the squad needs tightened. The squad needs shaved up. The squad's too big. And there's guys that can and will go.
And the Mikey Johnson thing, I said after the Hearts debacle when he was taken off half-time that I'd be happy to never see him in the team again. And it's not a personal thing. It's just the fact that we've seen it all now. We've seen it over 6 years. And I don't really rate what I see, despite the fact that he's clearly a player of some talent, doesn't really put it to good use. Then he comes in against Dundee and scores two goals. And the response to that was beyond parody. The, oh, see, you write players off too soon.
Aye.
After 6 years. Right, brilliant. So I was happy for him. He got a couple of goals. But then he comes in against Rangers and almost lets them, or contributes to letting them back into the game. I'm sorry, but it's got to be over for him.
Yeah, I think, like Stephen, I want to do a bit of a calm down here as well, because while the win was brilliant, the meltdown's been class, and it put Celtic where they need to be, and it's back in our hands now. So if Celtic can go out there, and we know if Celtic drop a couple of points, they can go and beat Rangers, that's good. But there's still a lot to improve in this team. And look, the game management was terrible coming on, and apart from Navrotsky, the other four subs just cost Celtic, with Mikey Johnston not tracking his man. This is why I hate this thing with Johnny Hayes. He gave 100%. That's the bare minimum. Yeah. That is the bare minimum, especially playing for Celtic in this game. If you're not willing to track back your man in the biggest game you will play in, then it's never going to happen for you, Celtic. Especially when Roy Keane's in the, the stand. Imagine him coming down and seeing Mikey Johnston if Celtic had dropped points in there. But not
do
just,
me a favour.
Not just Mikey
Johnston.
That's
your job.
Not just Mikey Johnston, I think. Look, we've come in now and we've got Bernardo, and you're right, he's another good midfield option. So with those three and Hatate, good, but Hatate's now away. So we've not really solved much there, but we missed Iwata. I think if he had been on the bench, he would have definitely come on. But bringing on David Turnbull in a game where you're winning 2-0 and you just need to see it out, he's not that type of player. He is not that type of player as well. Abada, we all welcome him back, but we get quickly reminded about what he is. He's not the most intelligent player on the pitch. He done what Stephen was talking about, but also Celtic had like a 4-on-3 and he cut inside and took a shot with his left foot. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. These simple things are what win and lose you these games. You play that to Matt O'Reilly, then you get in the middle, but he chose to try and take the limelight for himself, and I've had enough times I've had a go at Palmer on the other side for that. The all about him stuff, and as well, coming on, you come on and you hold up the ball. You don't go down holding your face and causing it.
That was right in front of us as well. It was
embarrassing. And I know we talk about in European games, we need to do the dirty stuff and all that, when we maybe need to do that. But that was really, really poor from him. If you're coming on, you have to hold up the ball. You have to be strong, like Jackie Marcus done when he came on. And the four subs that came on late in the second half didn't improve Celtic at all. In fact, they significantly weakened Celtic. And it brings me on to my point that this game doesn't really solve anything for Celtic, because the players that turned up are the players that have been turning up all season. Liam Scales, I've sort of changed my mind on him. These games, don't worry about me, he was brilliant again. But when it comes to playing Kilmarnock, when it comes to playing St Johnston, his passing isn't good enough and isn't crisp enough. And I think Navrotsky coming on and showing him how it's done, so he has to improve on that. Greg Taylor coming into the midfield in this game, ideal. But is he going to be able to do that in the smaller games? Palmer and Maeda were pretty poor, to be honest, and didn't affect the game. So if you're going to stop Celtic, stop them through the middle, and then we're going to struggle in games because Maeda's back, but now he's away, which means we've got Mikey Johnson, Yang or Forrest to play. No good enough, none of them. So Celtic's problems are still there, and Kyogo scoring a wonder goal, it's not really solving anything. Watching the... Sorry for this rant. Watching the goals from Kyogo against Rangers, you can see a complete shift in the type of goals he's scoring, because all the goals under Ange are pretty much tap-ins right in that six-yard box. The one against them, Ibrox, was fortuitous that Rangers defended horribly. The ball comes over and he scores from outside. This one is a piece of magic. The two goals Celtic scored, one's from a set piece and one's magic. We didn't create an awful lot of chances. So this game's not a worry, but going back to the other games, the same problems are still there for Celtic. But the good thing is, we've done our bit here. We need to now go and beat St Mirren and then sort this in January. There's players there that shouldn't be there, that aren't good enough. We need to bring in quality. A left back, a winger, and probably a striker.
Well, that's it for me, Stephen. This is a great place to kick your season on from. Oh, this is a jumping off point, and it's come at the perfect time. It's come as we sit here, New Year's Day, that's commitment for you. It is the perfect point to build on the season. The win was fantastic. Brendan Rodgers, again, has managed to navigate one of these Glasgow derbies and show that he's just simply a better manager than Rangers can get their hands on. Our top players showed up once again and got us through the game. This is the point to build on the season. This is the point where Brendan Rodgers is in at the board tomorrow morning going, look what I can do with this team. Now you need to give me the three or four more players that I really, really need. And it's to me, it's such a simple equation. Give Brendan Rodgers the players he needs and you just won't have to worry about Rangers. It's that simple.
Yeah, and it's yet another opportunity, of which we've had several this season now. It was a great game to be at, to enjoy the atmosphere of, to enjoy the win, of course.
I've enjoyed the aftermath more.
Yeah. The meltdown has been absolutely spectacular, as is often predictable with these things. The persecution afterwards has been tremendous. And again, I'm going to go and watch it all. What else is there to do on New Year's Day? Nothing. After all? Just get this out of the way and go and enjoy myself. Right? But what happens next is going to be more telling for me. This is an opportunity we've been presented with before. We all said after the Feyenoord game, no, that's not a dead rubber. That's a brilliant opportunity to build upon the confidence of finally getting a win in the Champions League and use it to springboard into the rest of the season. The very next game was Hearts at home and it all comes crashing down again. One of the worst performances I've seen in years. So that can't be allowed to happen again. I'm not just being a downer for the sake of it here. This is what we've seen this season. Mm-hmm. Beat Rangers before, dipped off in form again. Beat Feyenoord, dipped off in form again. So I'm not saying that Celtic need to win every single game, but we need to be able to see that the sticky period now, the dip.
Inconsistency.
Yeah, the inconsistency. Everyone's allowed that in a season, but that has to be it. It has to be over. We have to now go on a bit of a run. No excuses now because January is upon us. Need to get the players in. You've just said it. Give Brendan Rodgers the players he really badly needs and wants. And it all falls into place after that. Unless it doesn't. And then we will be faced with serious questions if it doesn't. If we're still as consistent after January when we've got the players in that are required. Assuming we do, because that's an absolute must.
Question. Guys going to the Asia Cup. We need replacement for those.
It's not even a question. It's not even a question. Not even a conversation. Not even a debate. We must get players in now. So we need to turn this game into another opportunity to go on a serious run and really stamp our authority all over this league. As I said it earlier, as brilliant as this is, we cannot ignore the fact that we have thrown away a lead. Yeah. That could have been, that game could and should have been the game that absolutely finished them off. And instead, what the game represents is the stopping of them from what looked like an inevitable climb to overtaking Celtic. That's what it felt like a few weeks ago. Seeing we lost to Kilmarnock and Hearts, it felt like we've chucked this here. Not the league entirely, but we've chucked the opportunity to go on a run and really just run away with this. So that has to be now, in my opinion. And I think Celtic can do it, but things need to change.
Melly, final words from you, Melly.
Yeah, I think Joe Hart's becoming a problem. I think he was poor again on the ball, taking touches too quickly, throwing things out too quickly when Celtic's game management was really poor. But I think that's becoming a problem. I don't see he's getting a keeper. But I think with this now, we've seen Brendan Rodgers navigate two games against them. We've seen him win in the Champions League. So I think, again, the focus goes back onto the players for me because they have beaten Rangers at Ibrox. They've beaten Feyenoord in the Champions League. They've had good performances against Atletico Madrid and all that. And they've beaten Rangers here playing well. You've set your own standards now. Mm-hmm. So if Celtic drop off now, it's the players for dropping off because if they perform like they did then, they will win most of the games here. So it's a challenge to the players now. Yes, we need a bit of help. We need some players in, but you cannot drop below those standards that you yourselves have set.
And that's it.
I'm blocking the wrapping up of this podcast. Don't you dare wrap this podcast up. We're going to VAR. No, play on. We've barely mentioned Matt O'Reilly, who was absolutely outstanding. And he smashed in that beautiful face of his for the cause. He smashed in that delightful nose of
twice.
His.
Yeah, I was ready to run on the pitch. Yeah. Get your hands off him.
I thought when he was in his tighty whities.
I didn't see that.
He took his shorts off just next to the tunnel and everybody was whistling. It was hilarious, man. But we simply cannot go. We've mentioned the rest of the midfield because I think those needed said. McGregor was terrific again, like we know he can be. Bernardo announced himself as a true Celtic player for the day. But Matt O'Reilly, outstanding again. What a footballer. I haven't made this crucial interjection to bring anything particularly insightful to it.
A correct decision was made, Stephen.
Correct. Mm. Again, it's all about the...
I want the transcript of how you came in this decision.
The only thing that matters is the correct decision has been reached. And I think we can all agree it has. But I don't have anything particularly insightful to say about Matt O'Reilly other than things like what a footballer.
You just want to give him his props.
Yeah, aye, give him his flowers. He's an absolutely magnificent footballer. And he stepped up once again in one of these derbies. Just what... What a player to watch, honestly, and he's a player who's not afraid to get stuck in, much like Bernardo as well. We saw that different edge to him.
They need to sort out their haircuts; they're too similar, the pair of them.
Yeah,
especially someone who frequently forgets their glasses going to the game. I was like, who did that? Was it Bernardo? Was it O'Reilly?
Yeah, but what a super again that partnership which we've seen so has been so fruitful in the big games this season. We spoke about the Champions League. The identical Kyogo goals in the Champions League, where it was Matt O'Reilly finding him from distance. It was him that took the pass from Navrotsky, spun inside, gave it to Kyogo. And Kyogo did the rest, of course. Yeah. He still had a lot of work to do. But Matt O'Reilly.
An assist for O'Reilly.
Yeah, another one. But he is a guy who I remember saying very similar about Matt O'Reilly as well, but Greg Taylor last season, that if you were to wind it back far enough, you would see that Greg Taylor was involved in pretty much everything good that Celtic do. Now, that was when Greg Taylor was at his peak and he's dropped off a wee bit this season. But the same can be said about Matt O'Reilly this season. Basically, everything good that comes from Celtic, he is in some way at the heart of. So, yeah, another absolutely great performance from him in what has been many this season.
Thank you for watching and listening.
I think they've got the radio scanners to try and listen to this podcast, haven't they?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.